Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Jasmine from Aladdin. She should have been fucking queer. I mean, she's like a smart, independent fucking woman. She likes to break rules. I mean, honestly, it's a tragedy that she likes Aladdin, but I guess if we have to.
Yeah, and on the new live action movie of Aladdin, like the actress that plays her was in like the Power Rangers movie, and high-key shipped her as the Pink Ranger with Miss Becky G, the Yellow Ranger.
Becky G.
One of my favorite movies. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Zero Cafecitos.
Thank you. It was a surprise sleeper.
Just saying. It's a good-ass movie.
It was pretty
people
good.
People do not even know what they're missing. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's goody?
Man, I am exhausted. I bet. Bringing this entire episode, just warning all of you out there. Notes are very half-assed, but
notes are out the door, y'all. Freestyling this whole episode.
But you know what? I got a good-ass brain, so it's fine.
Lit. That's how I do most banter until we get into our subject. Oh. It's just like, okay, let's do it.
Am I the only
I'm winging
one scared?
This.
Okay.
Yeah, I just, like, I have an idea in my mind, but this is the first time, like, welcome to how my brain always works.
Oh, dear. How was your Memorial Day weekend?
It was insane. I partied for the first time since Vegas, and I slept nothing, and I spent most of Sunday hungover, and I'm finally trying to get into the work week, and it's like impossible, but I'm getting back into the groove. But how about you? What you been doing?
Me? Let me look at my calendar, because I've already forgotten. I watched Fleabag. I watched a lot of media. I watched Fleabag, binged it. It was really, really good. It made me really, really depressed. So I was kind of really depressed. I was depressed pretty much the whole weekend. I also managed to watch a bunch of other shit. I watched Booksmart twice now, which we'll talk about later.
So good.
I took everybody that I know to go watch it. And I went on Saturday to Angels from Let Me Know Podcast's ice cream party.
Ooh, shout out Angel.
Yeah, and I hung out with Jacob from Functional Series that day.
Shout out Jacob.
Oh, but back to Angel. Actually, yes. Earlier in the week, before I started this new job that's got me a little crazy today, I went and I interviewed Angel for his podcast for his 2-year anniversary. And that's out already. That's probably been out for about 3 or 2 days by the time that you guys hear this. But we had a fucking interesting conversation. Like, I really got to know a lot of things about Angel, and we talked about media a little bit. And honestly, I was really surprised at like how great this conversation is. And honestly, if you guys like what we talk about on this podcast, I think that you guys would be pretty interested in it, because we got into some controversial stuff, you know?
Ooh, hot takes.
Yeah, so
I'm into it.
Let Me Know Pod. I interviewed him, but you guys will get to know some shit about me, because you know how I am. And he's a really interesting dude. Like, definitely, like, I don't think anybody understands, like, this dude is actually super interesting and a hard worker. So I highly recommend just try that one episode. You'll hear me and I talk about media. I can't help it. So just do it. Just do it like Mike. I make Ariana Grande references. You'll love it. Just go listen.
Just go.
we'll link it on cabronasychingonas.com probably too. So, and I'll put it on social
media.
Yes. Okay.
Y'all go listen. And then, it's been so long. You mediated a panel? Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. Come on, girl. Psycho Social. actually, they gave me like a journal. It's like right in front of me. Yeah. So Psycho Social. They are like a collective of like therapists in the Bay Area. They're all Latinos and they're queer inclusive, indigenous inclusive, like really, really great people. And they teamed up with Therapy for Latinx, which is like a database of like Latinx therapists that you can go to. Like, they came through with the statistics, dude, because like, I mean, 18 or so percent of the population is Latino in the US, but there's 1% of therapists are Latinos. So it's like big discrepancy there. And I think we can link that too. Hopefully, if it's up already, I'll link that panel. That panel should be up somewhere on their blog. They talk about a lot of really interesting things. Like, I myself was very, very much getting informed during that panel. So, yeah.
Oh, that's lit. That's crazy. I mean, like, girl, I've been needing to see somebody.
I know. I was thinking that. I was like, Dana, can't wait until this insurance kicks in.
Right? Like, I'm gonna start, like, hitting that up. I need to. God. I need time. Like,
yeah.
It's so serious.
I also saw The Hustle. It kind of sucked. Don't go watch it. I watched... The
Hustle.
I saw...
Oh, is that...
With Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson.
Oh, it's because, yeah, mm-hmm. No.
It was, yeah. Nah. I went to Long Beach Pride last weekend. That was fun. What? With the functional crew as well. And I saw Santa Gold. That was kind of cool.
That's amazing, and I'm super jealous. Like, I've been wanting to see her since I was, like, 16. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was really, really, really fun. I also watched The Perfection, which is a horror movie that... has a lot more twists than I'm used to. They hit the reverse a little bit, so I think
reverse. Yes,
that's on Netflix. I think it's a Netflix original, don't quote me on that, but it's pretty good. Like, at first I was like, this is a Get Out sequel, and then I was like, oh, it's not. Go watch that shit. It stars that girl that in Dear White People, the Netflix series.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Actually,
it's queer.
Oh shit.
It's horror. It's fuck you to the white man on that shit. So it's definitely, I would watch it. I would recommend somebody to watch it, which I'm doing right now. Okay.
Oh, you know what I found out, dude? Thanks to Broza. Shout out Broza. She actually sent me this like whole article on how Dead to Me is actually written by a queer woman who based their relationship off of her relationships with other queer women.
Which, and I was makes like, sense.
Oh, I knew it.
Everybody's talking about it. Yeah, everybody's talking about that shit.
I fucking knew it. I wasn't being completely queer baited. I'm glad there. Like, it was gay. But it wasn't.
You know.
Yeah, I haven't finished it. So I'm talking shit, and I haven't finished it.
Yeah.
Because I haven't... Honestly, I've just been watching The Shy. Honestly, Lena Waithe is out here fucking killing it.
Dude, and, what has she not done lately?
Dude, did you... Okay, we have to talk about it, though.
Yeah, she
We got kissed, to.
just, like... Freaking blew everybody's minds.
So, for y'all that don't know, Lena Waithe hosted Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel's Tonight Show.
One of the
show.
Jimmys. Who gives a fuck? Go on.
Yes, she hosted Jimmy Kimmel's late night show, and it was the blackest, queerest thing on earth. You guys should just watch the whole episode because she had Chica on, and she was like black, queer, and like fat and proud, and it was just beautiful. But other than that. Other than the woke shit, she made out with Halle Berry, and it was like, I've never been more jealous of Lena Waithe than in that moment, and my girlfriend was never more jealous of Halle Berry in her life, and I was just, like, freaking out. I was like, someone kissed Halle Berry, and it was a woman, it was Lena Waithe. I can't.
Which...
I'm not okay. I'm not all right.
Which I'm glad that you mentioned another person of color who is queer and fat. Because we're gonna talk about a little bit later today about that on with Booksmart, but there's also a show that I haven't decided how I feel about called Into the Dark, that it's about a person that's blind, not played by a blind person though, so that's like, but her best friend who's in every single episode is a, I guess I would say, a woman of color. A little ambiguous there, but pretty much. And and she's big, and she's a lesbian, and she's really proud. And that's, I really like that character. I've been
rep.
Yeah.
That's fucking rep.
Totally here for it. So that's just your local fat lesbian update.
Hey, that's technically both of us. Yeah, that's lit. I mean, Chica, did you see the
I didn't see
musician?
It, no.
She's also like, you know, fat, black, queer, like an amazing
right.
artist.
That's what
like,
made me remember all this.
Dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm down
just
for
watch
an
her
update
on The Tonight Show.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I'll
yes,
try
yes.
to get around to it for sure.
Dude. What else? Oh, Pride is actually going to happen in Dallas.
Yeah.
Like,
in June, right?
Like in June.
Like everywhere else in the country, right?
Like every. But I mean, I kind of was okay with it before because it's hella fucking hot.
But it
hasn't been that hot
right.
this year in
Texas. I was
going
to say, like, early
so
summer,
I'll take it.
You'll probably I'll be okay. It. Sometimes, yeah. Even in September, when they would have it, it would be hot as balls.
Oh, 100 and something, right? So I'm okay because I don't feel like it's not going to be 100 and something this time in June. It's fine. So global warming will probably just be, we'll be super hot in like December.
Honestly, don't jinx it because it's only like not long from now, and you know how Texas is, you could be hit with like some wild shit.
And dude, another thing, guess what? They're not having pride in the gayborhood, and I'm kind of pissed.
Yeah, I think honestly, I was just talking to my friends about it earlier. I was like, they're moving it to Fair Park, which that's where like the fair is and all this other shit is. Honestly, like they're expanding it because they don't want this shit to be free anymore. Like here in the LA area in Long Beach, we pay for Pride to get in there.
Right.
It's not BYOB like it is. So like honestly, last year's Dallas Pride might have been the last one where you can bring your own fucking beer and get in for free and just walk the streets. What? You know what I mean? Like I think that era for Dallas is over. I think gentrification has taken hold and they're just trying to find a way to charge y'all.
Honestly, yeah, and that was the best part about Pride is being drunk in the street and then sneaking liquor that you bought.
Not even into sneaking, the club just and fucking, drinking it there. Oh yeah, at the club, I guess, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, at the club, I used to just like put bottles in my like pocket and walk in.
Yeah.
Keep drinking.
Yeah, yeah. So
good times, dude.
So yeah.
I can't even.
In 2 days, 2 days after this episode comes out, that Saturday, June 1st, we can finally be proud of being gay again.
I know. We have 1 month to be proud.
Wow. Ooh. Oh, God. I still remember last year when I felt more adequate than I had in my entire life because it was the World Cup and Mexico was winning and it was Pride Month. I'd never felt so adequate in my life. But this year...
You were like, I'm seen, I'm heard.
I was like, I am adequate. I don't know. But this time, it's the Women's World Cup. It's probably not going to... we'll see how that goes.
I'm gonna try to maybe watch it now that I have watching ESPN. And WNBA has started.
I don't know about all that.
I've now since I apparently am with a sleeper butch. She loves sports and WNBA. So now
sports.
I'm watching WNBA.
You know, I can't even talk
sports
shit.
Sports ball.
Can't even talk shit because I'm straight up like. Trying to get the Infinity Gauntlet of Pride swag, basically. I'm going to all the Pride events. I'm going to Dodgers Pride Night, which is tomorrow for you guys. I'm going to LA Galaxy Pride Night. Lakers Pride Night, I don't think, is until, like, early fall, so I can't confirm yet.
It's weird.
It's
really weird.
I mean, that's when it was last time that I went.
Oh, it's just because of their season.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So that's when it was. And I'm also going to Venice Pride if you guys want to go to that. Functional's lighting their own light bulb thingy, so it's gonna be a wild ass week. And I'm also going to Armando from Undocumented Tales, like little fundraising mimosa brunch thingy. I have quite a weekend ahead of me. All of these events but one are all this weekend.
Oh, that's so exciting.
No, it's not.
Shout out to him. I am so excited for anything Armando does. Like,
Me
more.
Yeah.
Like,
I saw him on certain little show recently.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay. The show that shall not be named. Okay. I did watch it all, though.
I watched it all. I watched it all yesterday. That's not going to even front.
You're not going to
say
it.
But it's like,
right? Yeah, you
so,
did
like,
watch
we,
it.
People that were on this podcast were on that show. People that I've met who listened to the podcast, shout out to Diana Diaz label. They were on there, like, just, you know, I couldn't help it, right? Like,
what episode?
The one where they.
The wedding?
No, it was a different one where they go to see La Sancha.
Oh, La Sancha, yeah. I mean, it just felt so, like, connected to, like...
It's just, like, okay, every single episode I was, like, been there,
like,
I know that reference, Milenio Loteria. I'm not complaining about it, I'm not commenting at all on it, I'm just saying that I watched it and that people that I like are on it.
Same. That's where I was like, yo, okay, okay, word, we see you out here thriving, but then, yes. And then it's just, yeah...
So maybe we'll talk about it later. I don't know.
I just like, you know, Raul, you know, Castillo, I gotta watch it for him. You know, his mustache was everything.
We'll deliberate and we'll get back to you guys. I don't know.
Yeah.
If enough of you guys message us saying
we might not.
Moving on. Yeah. So speaking of white people,
damn.
What are we talking about today?
Damn, shade. Palm trees of shade. Fuck.
We have quite a show. So I'm excited about today's show.
Oh God, yes! Like I'm so excited. I've been obsessed. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Okay. What? Well, if you want to talk about what we're gonna talk about,
yeah, for sure. Should we start with my piece since it's an older piece and just in case?
Yeah.
Okay. And those for those of you that want to stick around, we're talking about Booksmart after this. But first, we're talking about Butter. Okay. Came out on Butter. It gets butter, you know. And I had to. I'm sorry. It came out in 2011. It was directed by some dude named Jinfield Smith and written by some dude named Jason McAuliffe. And who, like, honestly, who cares? But the reason that we're talking about it is because Olivia Wilde is in it. But it stars Jennifer Garner. Who everybody knows, Ty Burrell, who's on Modern Family, and most importantly, Yara Shahidi as a little baby, which is like a little.
She's a tiny little bee.
Before Blackish, before Grownish, there's little baby Yara. And if you guys don't know who Yara is, like, this woman's amazing. You have to catch up, like, get it together.
Do the Googles. She's amazing.
Straight up. All right, and she has like a movie out right now. By the way, I haven't seen it, so I can't comment. But The Sun is also a star, and it starts.
Oh my God, I actually want to see that.
Yeah, they have like an immigrant storyline, and it's two people of color as leads. It's a romance. Yes. So check that out. I have not yet, so I can't comment.
Yeah, I haven't left my house.
I've left it a lot, and So
only for Booksmart. Yes, tell us more about Butter. Sorry.
Okay. No, you're good. This is when I pull up that Wikipedia because, like I said, did not have time to do nothing.
No, you're good. I just remember one scene from the whole movie, and you know which one it is because.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Woo. Woo. But anyways, it's on Netflix, so you can just go type in Butter and it'll come up. It's free to watch. You know, it's a quick watch and it's an easy watch, and I like it a lot. Not that it's perfect, but whatever.
And if you're wondering, it is actually about Butter.
It's actually about Butter, and yeah, so, and it has also a lot of other big names. It literally has Ashley Greene in it. Hugh Jackman is in it.
Hugh Jackman's fine ass.
Hugh Jackman's in it. Like, so this movie. How do I talk about it in a simple way? The main character, I would argue, is Yara Shahidi's character, whose name is. Why isn't she? She should be higher up on this IMDb list. I don't like this. Her name is Destiny. At first, she's unsure what her last name is because the state doesn't have it figured out. She's a foster kid, who's kind of hopping from home to home, and they have this like kind of cool little what do you call it? Fucking. I keep wanting to say monologue, but it's not a montage. A montage of all the homes that she's been in. And there's like the ones that are like hyper religious and they're teaching them all the wrong things, and then there's like the ones where they don't give a fuck about them, and there's one that she actually really really liked, but the mom was kind of a trash person and like junkie, and so you know they kind of like go through it all, and the whole time she's kind of like thinking like, oh, you know, my mom's out there somewhere type of thing. So she lands in the homes of Ethan and Jill, who are some really nice white people. And they're super nice white people. Actually, the Jill is played by a homegirl that was in Alicia Silverstone. So
what?
Yeah,
my love.
Who's from fucking, why can't I remember this fucking movie's name?
Clueless.
God. I want to die. Yeah, so homegirl from Clueless is the mom, and then Ethan is the dad, that one white guy that you see in everything, Rob Corddry. And she moves to, I guess, like, Iowa, and they go to, like, a fair, like, a state fair thingy? I can't remember exactly what it was, but she sees, or she had already seen on TV, basically, that there's, like, this butter sculpture competition that Ty Burrell's character always freaking wins, and Jennifer Garner is like this one that, like, that kind of, that lady that, like, wants her husband to, like, be a governor, basically, and, like, she's, like, thinks herself, like, the first lady already and all this other shit. So, apparently, this movie was kind of, like, supposed to be some sort of, like, satire based on, like, the 2008 Democratic presidential primary. Like, that's what they were, like, inspired by. Because, you know, like, throughout the movie, she's kind of, like, gunning for that shit, you know? Like, she's acting like she's gonna, like, run for president and shit. But, like, her entire marriage is kind of trash. So, at first, like, I should explain who they are, I guess. I'm all over the place with this.
No, you're good.
So, Jennifer Garner and Ty Burrell are Laura and Bob Pickler. Bob Pickler is the one that does the butter sculptures. He is, like, not happy with his wife, but she's, like, wild, ready to, like, you know, have all the, I guess, amazing perks that come with being a butter sculpturist. I don't know. A butter sculpturist?
The first lady of butter? What the fuck?
Basically.
my dream. My honest dream.
Like, you would not expect it from this movie, but basically what this is about is, like, how white people feel entitled to, like, be politicians, and I don't know.
Oh, shit. Yeah. How they should be running things.
Basically, like, they're like, oh, I've got, like, a little bit of popularity. Like, let me beto this up and just run. But anyways, yeah, first, when you're kind of watching this, you kind of think, like, they're going to do this, like, thing where they demonize the wife and then, like, the husband is just, like, the poor dude that, like, has to put up with her and stuff. But then he's, like, goes to a strip club, and that's when we finally see Olivia Wilde.
Hey. The best part of this movie. The only part I know.
Anyways. It's honestly, like, what they do with her character is pretty interesting. Like, it's not your typical stripper storyline. She rides around on this bike, which I think is really, really funny. And she's, like, I don't know. I just think that the way she did it was great. And she ends up... The
fucking bike, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. She ends up with this kind of, like, little vendetta, so it's kind of like her against Jennifer Garner's character, and she ends up basically helping Yara Shahidi's character and all this stuff. Like, I don't want to, like, completely spoil it, but let me just say, Olivia Wilde's character is one of the... Or her interactions with other people are some of the best things. Like, her interaction with Yara Shahidi's character, even Ty Burrell, like, I could do without. But it's especially when it comes to Ashley Greene's character.
Oh.
Though I will say, I'm pretty sure the actresses in real life are really close in age, but I will say that it's a little hazy what age Ashley Greene is supposed to be. Like, you can make the assumption that it's high school, but I don't think that they say.
In my mind, she was 18, the character, but I know in real life that she's, like, grown, so it was okay.
I mean, I don't know. Even then, I'm like, I don't know, but the point is that, like, some stuff goes down between the stripper and this person that acts like a teenager. I'll say that. And, like, right before Pita said, I mean, like, if you're cool with them actually in real life being, like, close in age, then it's, like, whatever, like, helps you be able to watch that. But it's just, like, wild, like, funny, because this whole time the stripper's just, she just wants money, right? And you just see her and you're like, oh, she just wants money, and she's super funny, great comedic relief within a comedy, which is crazy. But what she does with the money is really, really badass, in my opinion. And, like, some of the other, she enters the butter competition at one point too. So there's a scene that I do think is very much more creative than I expected, because for some reason the night or the day that you have to go sign up to be a part of this, like, butter sculpting thing, cause it's like a government thing for some reason, like a local government thing. yeah, right. And
that makes sense. Iowa, yeah, butter, Iowa, government, all
so
totally meshed together.
You know
those,
like, fucking things, like, whenever you want to, like, control, like, a big, super long line, and they set up those ropes. They set up those ropes, like, wild, right? Like, crazy, like, zigzags, as if there was going to be, like, 100 people, and there was a total of 3 people who signed up, so unnecessary. Oh, wow. But Jennifer Garner's character, when she goes through these ropes, literally goes all the way through them, like all zigzags all the way through, even though there's not a single person in line. And then I believe, I can't remember what this Olivia Wilde's character does, but it's some wild ass shit that's very telling of her character. And then Yara Shahidi, the only one with fucking sense, just goes underneath the rope because she's not skipping anybody. So that scene in particular that they took some care with, like, I think it was very clever. And you guys will see it when you see it. I feel like no matter what I say about this movie, because of the way that it's set up, it doesn't really feel like anything will spoil it for you. Like, well, like what? Like
butter.
Other than like telling you who does or doesn't win the competition, which I'm not gonna do, but I feel like none of it really spoils it for you. So. Yeah. Oh, another comment that I had to make, Ashley Greene really looks like Missy Peregrine in this whole thing. I guess because they're trying to make her seem younger, so they didn't put makeup on her. I don't know. But she looked just like Missy Peregrine, which for you Karate Kid lovers, you'll like that. I might have a type. I don't know.
Let me see. Missy.
Oh, you know who she is.
Right the fuck up. I just, oh, you know who shit. She is. Yes, I do know who she is. Isn't she? Wasn't she in that fucking
Rookie Blue
gymnastics movie?
Gymnastics movie.
Yeah, Missy Peregrine.
I don't know. Right? I don't watch gymnastics movies.
Oh, girl, she was giving you like soft butch the whole time.
I mean, she gives like soft butch is like she invented it. Like she might be straight, presumably, but she invented that shit.
Oh yes, she did. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm trying to see if that was her. Stick It. Do you remember Stick It? Girl, I'm going to send you clips because it's going to give you life.
Is it worth watching?
She's like, for me? Her abs, and then, like, it's gay. We should talk about it at some point.
But you
point.
Can say that with anything that she's in. Like, Karate Kid, for God's sakes.
Was that her?
Yes.
And was there, like, a new Karate Kid that she was in?
Like,
because the rich, I thought the Karate Kid was homegirl from Boys Don't Cry.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Missy. Am I wildin?
I think you are.
Fucking shit.
They look exactly... She looks just like the chick from Million Dollar Baby. Hold on. No, she's the one that was the Karate Kid. That was the girl.
Oh, they look exactly alike. What the fuck? Hilary Swank.
Yeah, Hilary Swank is the Karate Kid.
Oh, same shit.
But Hilary Swank and Homegirl look exactly the same.
Honestly, especially back then. Okay. So scratch all that shit that I said before. But another thing that I really liked about this movie is a lot of white people comments. And even though this is created by white people about white people for a large portion of it, like from the beginning,
that matters.
There's stuff where they're like, white people are weird. Are these crackers for real? Like all kinds of.
Oh shit.
Yeah. There's a lot of comments that are in there.
White on white crime.
So I just, yeah, it's funny. I will say that I think for my personal taste, they made like these people who are clearly, they have some racist tendencies. They gave them a lot of like redemption. I don't know, where I was like, you know, like, are these crackers for real? So, so I don't know. Other than...
Like, how many crackers do you give this movie?
fucking, how many are in this movie? Like, a lot. No.
25.
I would say maybe, like, I would give it a solid, like, 1.5 cafecitos, like, of a ding because of, like, the overall message that I kind of felt like I was getting... but like I said, there's a lot of redeeming things about this, like that I like in it, you know. So, yeah, that's what I have to say about this movie. And the reason, like I said, that we're talking about it is because of Olivia Wilde, who's done a lot of really cool shit in the past. Like, she was queer and actually bisexual, and one of the better representations of bisexuality that I've ever seen in House, which is for some reason one of my favorite shows, even though it really shouldn't be. And she was also, I think, queer in something like way before that, I think, that you told me about.
Yeah, okay, so problematic representation, oh, but dear. Also the first gay representation that I saw once I was like 14, the OC. What?
Oh, wow.
And she even shouted out the OC when they'd asked her about Booksmart. So I was like very happy.
Well, let's
about
fucking
that.
Get into it. I'm pretty much done with butter. I don't know if you have anything to add.
No, because I haven't seen it. I've only seen the scene between her and Ashley Green.
It's worth watching the whole thing. Sorry, I'm eating. I'm eating good. Now. I just got home from work, so
it
deal
looks,
with it.
No, you're good. It's. It, I mean, it looks funny. I just back then in 2011, I didn't have. I don't know if I had Netflix, so, and I don't think it was on Netflix.
I don't. I think it's been on there for a long time, because I think I watched it on there like around the time that it came out. I might be wrong. I don't know. Don't
check. Oh
don't,
shit.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
oh shit,
yeah, check it out if you guys want. I think it's a very interesting piece to watch.
Yes, get you some Olivia Wilde goodness. Moving on to, I think we both really are excited to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Woo. Watch it twice now.
Hey, soundtrack, we're finally talking about Booksmart. What's good?
Finally, it's been out for a whole week.
I know.
Go well, support.
I mean, it's because you hooked it up and you told me to watch it early.
Well, that's
so
true.
I did.
That's true. I booked my ticket to watch it early, and I had to go cover Santa Gold, which I guess is
totally worth.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I can't complain, but I am complaining. So move on. Go on.
Booksmart is amazing. It just came out like 2 weeks ago. It's
one week ago.
Oh, right. 1 week ago, right? It's Olivia Wilde's directorial debut. Ooh.
Which, that's exciting. Like, she's been doing really exciting stuff for a while, so fuck yeah. Women directors, support.
And not just that, like, women writers, too. It was written by Susan Fogel and Emily Halpin, and then, like, two other people are credited. My bad if I didn't remember them. And I do want to talk about the cast a little bit, because I'm kind of obsessed, and I've been obsessed.
Yes.
We have it.
We've talked about it. We've talked about it. We've loved her.
We've talked about her.
We've woman crush Wednesday'd her.
Beanie Feldstein. Woo! So,
yes.
And the best thing that we found out after we both fangirled on her was that we found out she's actually queer in real life.
Mm-hmm. I'm over here like trying to find out if she's single. She's not.
Right.
Fuck my life.
And she's very much not single.
I don't
she's
know.
Very much in love with.
Honestly, that wasn't even shocking to me that she was lesbian. You want to know what was shocking to me? Finding out that she was Jonah Hill's sister.
That was pretty shocking.
I was like,
yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, she has the same face as him. I'm like, I don't see him when I see her.
Mm-mm. I don't either.
That's not what I'm looking at.
Nope, she fine.
I'm here,
like,
for it.
Been in love with her since like Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. And that's where you might have seen her before, is Lady Bird, and we've stand her on here since we talked about Lady Bird.
Yeah.
She plays Molly, one of the leads, and she's actually the straight lead. Shout out to that. Mm-hmm. That I like that. That's interesting.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty good. And the other white girl that plays the lead is Caitlin Dever. Her name's Amy in the movie, and you would have seen her if you watched Short Term 12 with
Rami Malek. I don't know who
Rami
else
Malek.
Was in
it. Yes, literally everyone's in that movie. Lakeith Stanfield's in that movie. Like, everyone is in Short Term 12. It's on Amazon Prime if you guys want to watch it. And then let's keep talking about the cast of Booksmart. Jessica Williams is in it, and her name is Miss Fine.
Miss Vine, but they pronounce it Fine. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because
I think it's
Vine. I looked at IMDb. It says Miss Fine, so I was like, okay, well then she Miss Fine.
I thought it was Vine. No, I thought it was Fine, and then I told somebody, and they were like, no, it's Vine, but they kept calling her Fine. I was like, which one? I don't know which one it is.
Oh, maybe that's, like, just, like, her unofficial name.
Yeah, like, maybe they put her nickname there.
She is.
Maybe.
Right? Like, oh, another fun person. There's so many fun cameos in this. Lisa Kudrow is fucking
forever.
It's Amy's mom.
Forever playing the crazy-ass mom, yeah.
I fucking love her. Oh my god. Okay, so where do I start with this movie?
Oh, Billie Lourd is also on it, by the way. I love Billie Lourd.
She's low-key, like, a sleeper in this movie. Like, you didn't expect for her to be one of your favorite fucking side characters, but every time she's on screen, she fucking steals the fucking, like, movie.
I expected it. I was like, she's gonna like, kill it. I love her. Some screen fucking days and all that shit, yeah.
She killed that shit. I was like, who is this crazy ass white girl? I stan. Like, and that's in a movie full of crazy ass white girls, and she's still killing it.
Yeah.
I love this movie. I like that it's not falling into any fucking tropes. Mm-hmm. Like, they're looking at women and friendships and like femme friendships in like Generation Z in a way that I think is honest. Like, none of them are like, usually, you know, nerds in, like, high school movies are, like, super square. they get made fun of, no one likes them. I mean, all those things are still true, but like the same thing that this movie does that nothing else does is they humanize two nerds, two squares, and they make them funny, they make them loving, they make them charming. It's like everything I've ever wanted, because they made the nerds the leads. You know, like they're usually side characters in movies.
Well, I mean, kind of. I don't know. Mm. I saw a good point on Twitter where they were saying, like, usually whenever it is like nerdier or like more social outcasty people as leads, they make it out to be like everybody's out to get them and everybody's bullying them and like they're completely innocent. But in this one, they kind of turn it around and they're like, no, they're not completely innocent. Like, they had some missteps and they're trying to make up for it.
Yeah, so in the story, in the movie, what you're finding out is that usually, you know, they're the ones that are downtrodden or whatever, but what's really happening is that they were just, like, dicks to everyone because they thought they were better than them. And, like, I was like, word, this is really honest. What they find out is they've been, like, super square for 4 years of college, and yet they worked high school asses off. 4 years of high school, they've been super square, and they think that, okay, I had to be super square and super motivated so I can go to, like, an Ivy League college. And what they find out is, like, the stoners, the fucking most popular party people are also going to Yale and Stanford. So it's kind of like, what did you do? Like, yeah. They had fun while you stayed at home listening to motivational, like, self-affirmations by, like, Justice Sotomayor. Like, I mean, honestly, if that's how you want to spend an evening, go for it.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it's lit.
Yeah. And funnily enough, right now, Miss Pat the Gat Library Raid texted me saying she liked the movie. So that's cute.
Yes.
Hi, Pat, if you're listening.
Hi, Pat. You're that strong guy in that meme I made.
So continue talking about amazing things about this movie. Please.
Anyways, yes, let's keep going. Another thing I really, really, really like about this movie is that we get to see, you know, queer femme sexuality, and it's done super beautiful. It's not about coming out. It's not about her, like, existential life crisis about, like, being queer.
Yeah, no,
none of that. She just wants to get laid.
she just likes some other basic white girl.
She's just being thirsty, and she liked the gender nonconforming person, and she, you know, there's lots of twists and turns in this movie.
Yeah, like gender.
And I'm not gonna spoil that because it was a really nice
topics.
It was a nice turn of events there. But it's really cool because you get like this honest view of like it being just as awkward for us as it is for like everyone. You know, like. Her first sexual experience was not the way she wanted it to be. And I was like, they made that shit super fucking funny and honest and true. And I was like, I stan this fucking movie for being honest about, like, first sexual experiences for, like, queer women. And it was like, wow, she's mad awkward. Rep matters, you guys. Like, I felt so seen.
For sure. For sure.
Not completely, but damn. Like, that's a big improvement from, like, a lesbian's dying.
I was like, I don't know, I couldn't necessarily relate, but I thought I totally called it. I will say that, like, can't really, I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah,
not gonna spoil
called
it
too.
But from the first six minutes, I was like,
we saw
wait
the
a fucking minute. I see some wardrobe choices
that
are telling me things. So shout out to whoever did the wardrobe.
Right. And then, what I thought was really cute was also their, like, relationship with Miss Fine, their teacher,
Jessica
and how
Williams.
True that is. No, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to say that, like, there's always those kids that, like, stay friends with their teachers, and that was, of course, them, and, like, we got to see that represented.
Yo.
Text me.
Like, out of, like, yeah, like, out of context relating to that, when I was, like, when I graduated, or when I was in my final year of school, I might have talked about this before, I don't think I have, but in my final year of school, in high school, my English teacher, like, I gave every one of my teachers a lot of shit. Like, I didn't like going to school, I didn't like doing anything. I just wanted to be a smartass and leave. And I always thought, like, fuck, like, all these teachers hate me. Like, I know they do, and I you know, I don't blame them. But I, like, graduated, and I was still 17 at the time. And my English teacher had added me on Facebook, and I guess I had my phone number on there. So this teacher, like, calls me over the summer and is like,
what?
Let's hang out. I think you're so cool. Blah, 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 blah.
What?
She was a lesbian, by the way, which I found out later. Of course. I found out later because, yeah, she had a boat. Like, I missed.
Wait, what?
Missed an opportunity.
You missed all the opportunity there, yeah. Dude. A boat?
Yo.
Messed up.
Like, literally, I get, like, a yearly reminder from my ex that this happened, and I always fucking die about it. Cause it's so, it was just weird, right? Like, I'm 17, I'm like, yeah. So,
you could have had a boat bay.
I could have.
You could have had a boat bay.
You know?
I love that. Oh, my God. That's so random. I fucking love that. Also, I don't want to ruin it. So there's a lot of twists in this movie that are, they feel earned because it's good writing. And I think the most beautiful part of this whole movie is just like their relationship, their friendship, and how honest and how real that is. Like what you have to do in friendship sometimes is you have to like confront your friend, and maybe not in the way they did, but
yeah, even though it was a great shot and it was like a very long shot.
Damn, that was,
I loved
that was a scene.
But yeah,
that was, it's so good, dude. I texted my best friend, who my high school best friend, my middle school best friend, my whole life best friend. I texted her after this and I was like, dude, this movie's like Us, but like in a movie, except I was more like a burnout and she was like, you know,
on that shit. Film scene.
Yeah, she was more like Beanie and I was like a burnout. So it was just weird. Like, I was just like, I still feel super seen though.
Yeah.
And so it's beautiful. It's like a real honest look at like femme friendships, and it's like, you know, they're not completely square. They're not completely, like, crazy, you know? Like, what's that saying? Ni santas ni putas, you know? Like, they're neither, you know? They're just out here being human.
They're definitely
human.
Not putas.
No.
But.
And if you are, who cares?
Yeah.
Litty.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the points that it makes, too. It's very sex positive and very, like, it's not like, oh, you had it wrong all this time. It was like, stop judging people for the shit they do. And talking shit. Yeah, so I like that. And I really, really love Beanie Feldstein. For those of you who don't know, she's like a bigger woman. And they never at any point, or they almost go into it, like she almost goes into this dialogue where she's like, mm-hmm. gonna, you know, talk about herself in like a negative way. And then like they turn it around real quick. And I really like that. And I like that they never at any point are like, oh, these people, like because of the way they look, can't do certain things. So I just think that it was really, really positive in that way. Like just how it wasn't about suffering or having an existential crisis about being queer. There was no like, oh, I'm fat and that's holding me back. There wasn't that, and I appreciated that very much. And the soundtrack, can we talk about soundtrack?
Yo, the soundtrack is it's a party. The whole thing is a fucking party.
Yo,
like,
Perfume Genius, two songs back to back. Like that scene in the pool when Perfume Genius is playing is like has been running through my mind for 48 hours.
Oh shit.
It's such a good song. Slip Away by Perfume Genius. Dude.
I think I heard like Kenna or Theophilus London in there. I couldn't at the very beginning. I don't remember, but like, because I only seen it once.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to see it like three more times, though, to be honest. I'm going to buy it. There's
so
something
good.
Else I did want to say. Oh, yeah, about Beanie. Is that, like, the way they talk to each other is, like,
they're
so
affirming.
Representative. Like, yes, it's so affirming. They never say anything, like, negative to each other. It's always, like, are you a bad bitch? No, you're a bad bitch. And I'm just, like, this is really how women talk to each other, though. Like,
they're
this
like, who
true.
Gave you permission
to be this damn fine?
Yeah.
Like, the way they talk to each other, I mean, I've just never seen that between, like, it passes all of the fucking tests. Like, the Bechdel test, they passed it. Like, they passed all the fucking tests. To me, except, you know, like, you know, white leads, but it's cool.
Here for it. Yeah, I think, yeah, this was a white episode. You know,
yeah.
What
sorry,
can we
guys.
Say?
Super white.
Sometimes white women like get these opportunities to do really cool things, so.
And they nail it. They do it right.
They do it so. Mostly right. Yeah,
we give them props where they're due because like they really, you know, Olivia Wilde is out here,
mm-hmm.
so we love it. I don't know, five panduses for this fucking movie.
For
I love it.
First time directing ever, like holy fuck, like. just as a very last like note, like it completely negated like male gazy shots, like even in the pool, even in everything, like even during like physical intimacy scenes or whatever, like male gaze out the window, like don't need it, don't want it. It was great.
And it's just, and it, you can tell when you watch it, it just feels safe to watch it. You're not, you don't feel skeeved out at
you don't
any
feel
point.
Like
you're
a like, fucking predator, like you don't feel like you're like
yeah it's not voyeuristic, you're just there, like you cool, like this is all I really need, like I don't need all that other shit they'd be doing on Blue is the Warmest Color, this is all I need.
Yeah, that's a, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah, like I didn't need that 10-minute weird scene, but this you know minute scene is fine with me, like it's good, it's Gucci. But what would you rate it?
I would probably say like half a cafecito. Like I said, it was like pretty white. There was yeah. You know, a few people of color here and there. And my other complaint is that though I think it's very strong all the way throughout, like it's very, very solid. There's no like peak moment that you're just like, holy fuck, this is an amazing movie. Like it doesn't like completely blow your mind, but it's so strong, like otherwise, you know what I mean, like it just has so many strong elements, the soundtrack, the casting, the dialogue, the like it's just so, it's strong in so many areas that even though it doesn't have like, I don't know, it's missing like a certain like this is the best movie ever thing, but it's yeah. still like it's just such a strong contender for my love. So
mm-hmm. at the end for me it felt too rushed at the end, like everything just happens now and I'm like oh shit.
I really like
right there
their graduation scene.
Oh, that was the shit.
That was the shit. It was fantastic. But yeah, so very, very strong, amazing movie. That barely dinging it, so half cafecito for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still gonna give it 5 pandulces because I love it. But yeah, it's white.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. I loved it. Yeah. So. I guess that's pretty much the end of this. We can probably end it. Do you have anything coming up that we want to shout out?
Not that I can think of right now at night. I'm sure I'll think of something eventually and I'll let you know, but right now.
For sure. No. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, go to your local Pride events if you want to, if that's something that you like. Support undocumented tales, and maybe I'll see you guys at like Murka Gente Nights or Noah Nights. Just follow us on CYC Podcast. We always try to update that public events that we do and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's on Instagram and Twitter. And if you guys want to hear our episode next week, you'll have to be on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/CYC podcast. And you guys can support if you want to. If not, then we'll be back the week after. And definitely rate and review us, because for God's sakes, we need some ratings, guys. That's yes. What really helps us.
5 stars.
5 estrellas.
Fucking stars. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to shout out right now. So just follow us cool. on Instagram at CYC Podcast.
Yeah. For our personal thoughts, I'm on MYTEPanda, Might the Panda, on Insta and Twitter.
Yeah, I'm at Fried Papita on Twitter and Cabrona on Instagram. So
that's it.
That's it. Bye.
That's all, folks. Hope y'all enjoyed this. If we missed anything, hit us up. Links will be up on Cabronas y Chingonas at some point. And bye.
Bye.